Appreciate it. Open your Bible to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, and we will now get into a passage of Scripture whose theme is the ordinance that we are observing tonight. And again, I repeat it often, I know, but every quarter we try to observe it on the first Sunday night of each quarter. We don't always make it on the first Sunday night, but this quarter we're able to. And we'll be reading tonight verses 12 through 16. Follow along in Mark chapter 14. And the Bible says, "In the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, Where wilt thou that we go and prepare, that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the goodman of the house, The master saith, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. And his disciples went forth and came into the city, and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover." Let's pray together tonight. Father in heaven, thank you for establishing and instituting this special ordinance for our church and other churches of like faith to observe whenever we feel like it would be good to do it. And Lord, you gave us that liberty, and here we've done it four times a year. It's always special. It's a special night. It warms my heart, and I pray that it will warm the hearts of our people tonight. We thank you for the Lord Jesus who gave his life so that we could be saved. And tonight we want to remember specifically his crucifixion on the cross at Calvary, his blood and his body. And I pray that you'll help me tonight as we go through these scriptures to think on certain things. Fill us with your power and give us a wonderful time. We'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen. Southerners are quite different in temperament than Midwesterners. I learned that a long, long time ago. Usually Southerners are a little bit more outspoken, a little bit more spontaneous. Sometimes Southerners talk just to be polite. But there's not a lot of meaning behind what they say. They're just being nice. Just being nice. You heard me tell, I think I've told before, my wife's parents, John and Nellie, Brother Brown and Diane had just moved to Iowa and they were getting the church started there. And Diane and Brother Brown would take the Wilsons, Donna and Wendell, out one night visiting. And then he would take John and Nellie another night visiting, because those folks had never gone out and knocked doors and talked to people about the Lord. And the truth of the matter is, Brother Wendell Wilson and John Christner both became good soul-winning people because they were taught to do it by Brother Brown. And so John and Pastor Brown and Nellie and Diane Brown had been out and they worked some streets together, and they pulled up in front of the house on South C Avenue where Brother Brown lived at the time. And Pastor and Brother John in the front seat, and Diane and Nellie in the back seat. And Pastor turned and said, "Well, why don't y'all come on in and have a bite to eat?" And Diane nearly passed out, because it was one of those time periods where they had just eaten everything that was pleasant to eat and getting ready to go to the store, and she had nothing in the house. And Midwesterners, John took Pastor Brown at his word, and he didn't really want to go in, but he thought, well, if he asked me, we better. So he said, "Well, I guess we can come in a little bit and have a bite to eat." And they got inside the house, and Diane said, and so, and Pastor Brown responded, "I didn't think he would say yes." And so, he never meant for him to come in the house. He was just being nice. Amen. And, you know, Southerners, you know, "Y'all want to come in and eat a little bit?" "No, that's okay. We're going down the road." "Oh, okay." And it never was intended for it to happen. It was just, Southerners like to talk. Southerners like to gab. Please don't say amen too loud, okay? I know. So they were quite unprepared to have guests for a meal. Now, we were talking about this in Sunday school, in the teacher's meeting just a little while ago, because the lesson next Sunday morning is about the Passion of Christ, and beginning with the Passover week and the triumphal entry and so forth. The Passover meal was no such meal. By that I mean it was not a meal of just happen chance. There was a lot of preparation for the Passover meal. You see it referred to in verse number 12, where Jesus said, you need to talk to this man. And, he says to his disciples, "Where wilt thou that we go?" They said to Jesus, I mean, "Where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover?" Where we're going to prepare to make this happen. And in verse number 15, you'll find that the upper room was furnished and prepared. And Jesus said, "There make ready for us." And in verse number 16, the Bible says at the end of the verse that they made ready the Passover. This was an incredibly important event for these people. Soon Christ would die on the cross, and then a few days later, after His resurrection, He would ascend to glory and be seated at the right hand of His Father. The days on earth that He had with His disciples were dwindling in number. They were being reduced quickly. So the supper it wasn't to be by happen chance, and it wasn't just thrown together. It was not the type of thing where y'all come on in and sit for a while and have something to eat. No. This was a carefully prepared meal. And people, we don't have a Passover now. We don't need a Passover. First of all, we're not Jews, and Jesus became the Passover lamb for us, and we have the Lord's Supper. And the truth of the matter is, just like there was preparation for the Passover in Mark chapter 14 and other passages in the Bible, we ought to come prepared in heart and mind for the Lord's Supper. I want to say three things tonight. Follow along with me. First of all, I want you to notice the physical preparation. The physical preparation. Jesus spoke of a certain man in verse number 13. He said, "You'll see a man, and he's got a house, and he's got a guest chamber. And you'll know because he's got a water pitcher on his head. And he'll be carrying a pitcher of water with him. And you find that man and you talk to him." Now, most Jewish homes of any size at all in Bible times had an upper room. That upper room was usually only accessible by an outside staircase. And so it was that type of room that Jesus told His disciples to make ready. You go and talk to this man. And he's got a guest chamber, an upper room. And you ask him where it is, and you go there and make ready the Passover. Things had to be prepared. The lamb had to be purchased down at the temple. I don't think Peter or Andrew or John carried a lamb with them. These men were not farmers. If you weren't a farmer, you didn't have a herd or a flock of sheep to pull a lamb out of. You went down to the temple and you purchased a lamb. And so they had to go down and buy a lamb at the temple. And then the lamb had to be inspected to make sure that it was without spot and without blemish. That's the only way that lamb could be used for that Passover. And then the lamb had to be killed, and then it had to be roasted for eating, and the bitter herbs had to be gathered, and the unleavened bread had to be in place, and the pure fruit juice of the vine, the grape juice, had to be in place, and the dishes to eat out of. They're talking about physical preparation. Are you with me? The physical preparation of the room. Verse number 15 says that the room was furnished. Now, usually when a room was furnished, there was a low table. You've probably seen pictures of this. A low table, and a lot of times there would be large pillows around that low table where the guest in the Middle East would lean on those tables, on those pillows, and sit around the low table and share a meal together. From John chapter 13, we know that there was a basin of water, and there was a pitcher, and there was a towel there. That's what the people did when they lent out a room. They provided the means for people's feet to be washed. So the upper room was furnished. I'm saying tonight there was quite a bit of physical preparation for that supper. Now, we've made the physical preparation for this Lord's Supper here tonight. We have a table. It's called the Lord's Supper table. We have the bread, and we have the juice on the table here tonight. There's no lamb necessary. We don't have to buy a lamb. We don't have to go kill a lamb and roast it, because the Lord Jesus, without spot and without blemish, was the Lamb of God, which was slain to take away the sins of the world. And some of you might be new to the Lord's Supper, and in a little bit we're going to pass a dish that has some bread in it. That bread is unleavened bread, because leaven in the Bible is a type and picture of sin, and the Lord Jesus had no sin in His body. No sin. So it's unleavened bread. And that leavened bread pictures the body of Jesus that was bruised and beaten and shattered and ripped and lacerated when He went to the cross. And then we'll pass the plates that have the little cups of juice in them. And that is pure grape. That's not wine. That's not fermented alcoholic beverage, because that juice pictures the pure, spotless, unblemished blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's the pure fruit of the vine, the grape juice. And that pictures His blood that was shed on Calvary. And we'll pass that tonight. So we have made the physical preparation. We have all the physical preparation that the Lord's Supper needs right here. We have the table, we have the bread, and we have the juice. It's a lot simpler than it was in Jesus' day, in this day. Number two, though, I want to talk for a minute here about the mental preparation. The mental preparation. Now, think with me, folks. Jesus Christ, being the God-man, was no doubt mindful of all things at all times, right? He knew what people were thinking and would speak their thoughts publicly. Why think ye? He knows, like I said this morning, He knows all of our thoughts, Psalm 94. He knows when we're sitting in a church service, engaged in the message, or daydreaming about something far, far away. He knows that. He knows it all. He knows all things at all time. He knew there would be suffering. He knew there would be pain. He knew there would be blood. He knew there would be laceration. Worst of all, He knew there would be sin. He knew that He would become sin. He knew that the sin of all mankind would be put upon Him. He would carry that sin in His own body to the cross. And He knew that that would ultimately cost Him, because He would be separated from His Father. I've been saved for 42 years this fall. Been speaking publicly and preaching services for 37 years now. Study the Bible in Bible college, sitting in class, it's still very difficult for me to fathom that the Godhead was separated for my salvation. That God the Father turned His back on His Son. So that Jesus cried out in the middle of that crucifixion, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? It doesn't connect with us sometimes. The price that was paid so that we don't have to go fry in the pit of hell. It's incredible. He knew all that. This was on His mind. As He sat to eat with these men around this table, there was no chatter about Roman politics. There was no chatter about Nero. There was no chatter about the taxes. There was no chatter about the current state of Judaism. There was no chatter about what was happening down at the temple and the formal religion of the day. No, 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 no. There was talk of His body. There was talk of His blood. There was the example of being a servant. And of course, there was talk of Judas Iscariot betraying Him. This was on His mind as He gathered around the table with His disciples. And He articulated these things to His disciples and explained the bread and explained the juice. And He said, remember my body. Remember me when you eat the bread. And remember me when you drink the juice. This was on Christ's mind. You know what being mentally prepared for the Lord's Supper means for you and me? It means that I shut out of my mind all the problems that await me and all the burdens that await me and the cares of tomorrow and what's going on in America and what's happening here in Bourbonnais and what's going on down at my bank account and what's going on with investments and what's going on with tomorrow's responsibilities. I shut all of that stuff out by character and by concentrating, and I come to a table tonight and I make up my mind that for these minutes, I'm going to be mentally prepared to remember the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it means. This is a picture. It's a picture. I have a picture in my bedroom of my youngest brother who died of cancer. I have a picture of him and his family. I keep that picture there in the bedroom because when I see it, it causes me to think of him and remember him and be mindful of him. At times, not every day, but at times, the thought processes linger a little longer. And I remember his laugh. And I remember his humor. And I remember how he was always the life of the party. And there was always something going on between Uncle Tom and one of the nieces and one of the nephews. And it was always that way. And I can remember being at his house and his being at our house. And that's why that picture is there, friend. That picture is there for me to think. That picture is there for me for a few minutes to not consider what's ahead of me that day, what's behind me the day before. That picture is there for me to have a few minutes to remember my brother. And this is a picture tonight of our Lord Jesus Christ. How dare we sit and think on anything less than Jesus at this time? Anything less than Christ. Christ on our mind. Christ on our mind. Jesus came to this table, to this supper, mentally prepared. It was physically prepared. There was mental preparation as they came to this table. And I hope that even while tonight we are passing the bread and the juice, I hope that even you children, you elementary school children, will realize that this is something special. This does not wash away your sins. But this pictures that which Jesus did so that our sins could be washed away. The incredible, the single most important event that ever took place on planet Earth is when Jesus Christ hung on that cross for 6 hours. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. And so you remember that tonight. Young person, a teenage young person, you're not so busy, you're not so incapable of sitting tonight and not being able to think about the Lord Jesus and the price He paid for your salvation. Mental preparation for the Lord's Supper. There was physical preparation. There was mental preparation. And then can I say tonight, number three, there was spiritual preparation. Spiritual preparation. Listen carefully and follow along now. Jesus came to this table with these men. He knew that He would pretty much be abandoned by the same men He was about to eat with. He knew one of those men would betray Him. He knew Peter would deny Him and curse and deny Him 3 times. He knew all of them would doubt Him after the resurrection, feeling that somebody had stolen His body away. He knew all of that. And yet in Luke chapter 22, verse 15, He said to those men who would abandon Him, those men who would betray Him, those men who would doubt Him, He said to them with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. With you. Before I suffer. Really? Most of us would not want to sit anywhere close to people who would betray us or desert us. But Jesus somehow shut out the shortcomings of these men around Him. And instead, He found some solace and He found some comfort and He found some sense of joy even to be in their presence. Jesus Christ found great joy being in the presence of these men who would, in just a few hours in some cases, deny Him. You know what, folks? The truth of the matter is, it's pretty amazing how petty God's people can be. It's amazing how petty we are sometimes in our attitude toward our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. I marvel sometimes what goes on. Not often, but once in a while I'll hear in this church of this person upset with this person, and this person's mad at this person, and this person doesn't want to speak with this person. I hear about going on, and this is not any different than any other church where they observe the Lord's Supper. Let me ask you a question tonight. Do you have aught in your heart and mind against one of your brothers or sisters in this auditorium? Do you have aught? Is there somebody you don't want to speak to? There's somebody you avoid. There's somebody you go this way because they're going that way, or you go that way because they're going this way, or you walk down a hall and you look this way because you don't want to look that way, because that way is somebody you don't want to talk about or talk to, or you don't want to think about. Is there aught in our heart tonight? Is there any kind of grudge holding? Is there somebody that we try to avoid because we've got something in our hearts against them? Well, you say, Brother Angel, if you knew what they said about me, if you knew what they said about my kids, if you knew what they did to me. Hey, folks, I'm not denying the fact that people can be cruel. People can be ugly. Things can be said that are uncalled for. But I want to point out to you and me tonight that Jesus loved the men around that table, including Judas, who would soon betray Him, to the point when Judas came to the garden, Jesus called him friend. Can you imagine attempting to stand before Jesus someday and explain why you carried ugliness in your heart toward a brother? Well, you see, Lord, you got to understand that this person did me wrong and they said some things. I can see Jesus saying, oh, I understand. I understand. Do you have aught against somebody tonight? You know what Jesus did with these men gathered around this table who would desert Him? He knew that. These men who would, one of them, deny Him? He knew that. You know what Jesus did? He stood up at the end of the meal in John 13 and He walked over and He took that basin and pitcher and poured took that pitcher and poured that water in that basin, draped a towel over His arm, and He went around to the feet of those men and He washed their feet, carefully washing the sand and the dirt from between their toes. Jesus did. But folks won't shake somebody else's hand. Folks won't speak to somebody. I'm mad. Jesus took a towel with His bare hands and water and carefully washed between the toes of those disciples who were rough men getting the grit and their dirt out between their toes. Let me tell you something. You know what? I mentioned to my brother Tom, he went to a church out there in Ohio, Grace Brethren Church, and at their Lord's Supper, they wash feet. Now, I don't think it's necessary, but I'm going to tell you something. It probably wouldn't hurt us. Now take a deep breath. We're not washing feet, okay? All right, we're not washing feet. But it wouldn't hurt us. You're like, well, that's nasty. What do you think their feet were like? Peter, James, John, fishermen? What do you think their feet were like? Our Savior took the towel and water and washed their feet. And they're not walking on asphalt or concrete. Oh, we're not going to wash feet here. It's not necessary. Not part of what Jesus instituted. He said, what I've done to you is an example. But brother, I want to tell you something. Ugliness and bitterness and avoiding people would probably evaporate if you had to kneel before somebody and take a towel and some warm water and wash their feet. There'd be a humbling. God's people could use a dose of humbling. Humbling. I'm simply saying there was a spiritual preparation. We come to this hour with an ugly heart of aught against someone, an unforgiving spirit, in some cases, I hope not, but in some cases possibly almost hateful. What a travesty to sit at a supper with animosity and bitterness and anger and ugliness when Jesus sat around a table like this one with love and forgiveness and desire to be with His brethren. We're not going to wash feet, but there's not one person's room in this feet in this room, not one person's feet in this room that I couldn't wash your feet. My heart's open to you. I don't avoid anybody. I don't look the other way toward anybody. And that's how it ought to be across the board. You say, well, you've got to be that way. You're the pastor. People say things about me. Oh, really? So never say anything about me, though, right? Hey, folks. That kind of stuff has to go by the wayside. Draw nigh to God, James 4:8 says, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify ye your hearts, ye double-minded. Can I tell you what a good example of being double-minded is? Is to approach the Lord's Supper tonight and hold a piece of bread in your hand, unleavened bread that represents His body, and later hold a little cup of juice that represents His blood. And pretend like everything is okay when Jesus sat around the table looking forward to sitting around the table with men who would deny Him in just a few short hours. And we sit here and put on the show, and in our hearts is ugliness. That's double-minded. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Folks, the Lord's Supper only comes 4 times a year. The physical preparation is made. It's not hard to prepare for it, and I appreciate Gene and Barb Anderson so faithfully preparing the bread and the juice for us in these plates and setting it all up and getting it ready. The physical preparation is here. The mental preparation, I hope you've entered into this time in the service and concentrating and by character putting away the thoughts of yesterday or today or what's on the horizon for tomorrow and concentrating for a few moments about what Jesus thought about His death and His body and His blood. I hope that mentally you're prepared tonight to take this supper. And then I trust that all of us in this room are spiritually prepared. I trust that our hearts are free from ugliness, any kind of anger, bitterness, acrimony toward anybody else in this room. There's absolutely no reason, folks, to hang on to things and carry them and carry them and carry them and carry them and carry them. Let it go. Let it go. If Jesus Christ could look men in the face who were going to deny Him and say, you know what, I've looked forward to having this meal with you, then I suppose you and I could look across the auditorium and say the same thing to each other. I look forward to having this with you tonight. Are you mentally prepared? Are you spiritually prepared? Because the Lord's Supper, like the Passover, was not a light thing. It was a very precious, wonderful, thing. And God has instituted it for us to be blessed and helped by in our hearts. Let's not hinder the purpose and the effect that this supper can have on us tonight. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father in heaven, I thank You for the privilege of sitting around this table tonight with these, my brothers and sisters. I thank You, O God, for the privilege of being saved. I thank You, O God, that my sins are washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus. And I thank You that the body of Jesus was hung on the cross and my sin was placed on His body so that it could be paid for. So, Father, I rejoice tonight. And, Lord, I'm happy to eat the supper with these people tonight. And, Lord, to gather around with these folks. And I pray that You'll be pleased with our thought processes and what we think about in our hearts, the condition of our hearts for the next several minutes as we observe this special time in Jesus' name. Now, listen, if you're not saved, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're not saved, sure that you're on your way to heaven. Tonight would be a great night to be saved. And if you want to use the altar for a few minutes and say, oh, God, help me, then the altar will be open for just a few minutes and just a little bit. And if you're not saved, you come and get saved. If you want to use the altar and clean your heart, and maybe there in your pew, at your seat, ask God to cleanse you. And if, oh my goodness, if you're harboring some kind of ugliness tonight and there's some kind of bitterness or vengeful feeling in your heart, release it tonight. And think about how Jesus sat around the table with men that were going to deny Him. And He looked forward to it. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The ladies are playing a song of invitation. Let you use the altar tonight.